And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome aboard the Athletics Can't Wait Jets podcast, your nonstop shop for all things Jets with Tim McMaster, Zach Rosenblatt, and Marissa Dunn.
Can't wait!
One more game to go in a season that started with so much hope and has spiraled into disaster. We are getting you ready for the Dolphins and Jets, two teams whose seasons have gone off the rails, although the Dolphins still with some postseason hopes. This is the Can't Wait podcast. I'm Tim McMaster, along with Zach Rosenblatt and Marissa Dunn. Lots to get to. We're going to talk about the quarterback position, which we just got the news this morning that Joe Flacco will get the start. Zach Wilson will be the backup. We'll talk a little bit about that. Mike LaFleur, his comments on Thursday about Zach Wilson, where he stands as this team heads towards the offseason. We'll get you ready for the Dolphins as well. Darrell Revis, headed to the Hall of Fame probably, and our picks with a guest from the Jets podcasting family. So we'll have some fun with that as well. Guys, one quick note, though, before we get to the Jets, because we talked about it earlier in the week, the news has gotten better each day with DeMar Hamlin, which has been great to see. And this morning we learned that he's breathing on his own. He's talking to family members after on Thursday we found out he was writing to family members because he was still, you know, unable to talk with all the stuff in his throat. But just on a day where, from a Jets perspective, obviously it's kind of playing out the string, good feel good news for the NFL, I think, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's
feel good news for everybody. I feel
For everybody,
the country.
It has gone. That's true. The story has gone beyond the NFL.
I guess Sean McDermott doing his press conference right now, I saw one of the reporters say that he can't stop smiling. So I'm sure it's awesome. Been hard to come by. And I saw the photos of Josh Allen in practice yesterday, like smiling at the camera. Like I'm sure they had a couple of days that were pretty tough, but like I mentioned, like I've been like in the weeds, and I don't know the right word, in like this kind of scenario where you don't know you're waiting for the next positive news. And so
it's a little different in that
the whole nation is following it along. So and he has a whole football team behind him, and it's cool that he was able to FaceTime with the team and all that stuff. But positive news. So allows us to get back to talking about the disaster that is the New York Jets.
let's get there. You were just at the press conference, Zach, with Robert Saleh announcing that it will indeed be Joe Flacco getting the start. Zach Wilson will be the backup. We can get into Chris Streveler in a second. And why not Strev? I think that should be a hashtag.
Why not Strev?
But here's the thing about this. Robert Saleh was asked why. He was actually asked that question. He said Flacco gives us the best chance.
Not by me,
which is the most amazing thing about that. Not by you. But here's the thing, like that alone in a bubble, like fine. But then there's the other news that George Fant isn't going to play, Dwayne Brown isn't going to play, and Nate Herbig isn't going to play. With that news attached to it, I actually find it hard to believe that Joe Flacco gives them the best chance to win, because we've seen how immobile he is. And it could get ugly. And we could see Zach Wilson at that rate. I don't know.
So my friend Joe, who we had on the pod, texted me after he saw my tweet about the offensive line being out. And he said, this is elder abuse for Joe. I think the offensive line is probably like a factor in their decision. Honestly, I don't think, number one, I don't think they see a value in putting Zach out there considering what we just saw against the Jaguars. I think they really do want to reset him and all that stuff and get him to step away from football, or the whole thing that Saleh said the other day. And I also think they don't want him to get killed out there. I mean, I don't know that they want Joe Flacco to kill, but you know, there's a real possibility this is Joe Flacco's last ever start. I'm sure there's a part of them that is like doing this for Joe, who they really love in this building. So we started the season with Joe Flacco and we're ending it with Joe Flacco, which I don't think any of us could have anticipated, but maybe we should anticipate weird stuff happening. But it is just like, you just think about this QB carousel. And I asked Saleh about this and he acknowledged that it's hard to, you know, get anything going when you are constantly changing. But you look like this depth chart. It started the season, Joe Flacco, Mike White. Zach Wilson comes back. It's Zach Wilson, Joe Flacco. At a certain point, I forget which week, I think it was after or before the first Patriots game, they go Mike White's number two. After the second Patriots game, they go Mike White's the starter. Joe Flacco's number two. Zach Wilson's number three. Then Mike White gets hurt, and it's Zach Wilson, Joe Flacco, Chris Streveler is in the mix. And then Zach Wilson comes back. I mean, then Mike White comes back, and Zach Wilson is the third string, and Joe Flacco is the backup, and Chris Streveler is still in there. And now we're back to Joe Flacco as a starter, and Zach Wilson's number two, and Chris Streveler will probably get some – I would think he would get some run on Sunday in the Streveler package or the Taysom Hill package or whatever. But it's – I was talking to one of the reporters on the walk-in, Dennis. In the history of the NFL, I can't imagine any team has had success when they change quarterbacks, even like a few times throughout the season. Like doing the musical chairs thing just does not work. Like it doesn't even matter unless both guys are very good, which in that case, you're probably just rolling with one anyway. Like it just does not work, whether it's injuries or performance. Like it, the way they did it this year is not a way to have like a winning, constructive football team with a good offense. And, you know, we're going to get into LaFleur stuff. I think it is important to consider the hand he was dealt. You also have to consider his role in that hand being dealt as well. But like I mean, it's obvious, and we're going to say it a million times this offseason, they have to get the next quarterback. Salah said we need to fix that this offseason. I think that's the closest they've come to admitting that they're going to add somebody, honestly, because they've been like staunchly like supporting Zach. But quarterback's not going to fix everything, but you just need stability. And, you know, you could argue, even again, I'm not going to get too in the weeds here, but, you know, a guy like Jimmy G has had injury issues. And so, like, so you have to think about, okay, if we bring him in, do we want to go through this again? Do we want to turn to Zach if he gets hurt? Like, there's a lot of factors going on, and a lot of people's jobs are hanging in the balance here going into next year if they get this wrong. But that's my biggest takeaway. I mean, look, on Sunday, Joe Flacco could take the lead for passing touchdowns. He's one behind Zach Wilson. Zach has six. Joe Flacco has five. Joe Flacco might end the season as the Jets' leading passing touchdown leader from starting four games. Like that. Yeah. If that doesn't tell you, like, you'd think that their record would be way worse if you consider all of that. So it's a very weird, bad spot to be in right now, but it's the Jets. So weird.
It's the old saying is if you have two quarterbacks, you have none, right? So if you have four quarterbacks, definitely.
If you have four quarterbacks, you have one, Chris Streveler.
we didn't mention Mike White's side of this, which was he did get banged up, right? Last weekend, it kind of came out through the week. He had a bad practice Wednesday, was officially replaced as the first guy in practice on Thursday. So it's just tough, right? Because like, there was so much hope around this guy. And then, you know, obviously he was hurting in the Seahawks game and he played badly and he didn't use that as an excuse, but like he was hurting. And you wondered if this was a guy who could at least be like an option heading into 2023. And for his season to end this way, like it just stinks as someone kind of watching this team.
Yeah, you do feel for him. Because, you know, again, I know everybody says that everybody's harsh on Zach, but he's under contract for multiple years. He has a guaranteed salary, all that stuff. Mike White's about to hit free agency. He had a chance to really make himself a lot of money. I still think he's going to make, like, good money. I don't know if it'll be as much as he would have if not for what transpired. Like, part of me wonders if he just, like, didn't come back and he just stayed out till the end of the season, if his value would have been better going in the offseason, because you go on a little more of a high note with that Bills game. And the Vikings game and the Bears game, where, you know, he showed he can make some throws. But I know you look around the league, like you can run through a lot of teams that either are going to need a number two you believe in, or a guy to be like a bridge, or a guy to be competition for a young quarterback. And I think he's as good as any candidate hitting free agency, especially because he's still fairly young. I think he's 27. But anyway, you know, he had a chance to prove he can be a starter in this league. And, you know, he really fought through pain to get out there. I think Robert Saleh said there was a hit before halftime that kind of, I don't know, aggravated is the right word, but it made things worse in a way. And that was a risk of him going back out there. Ultimately, maybe he shouldn't have. He was cleared, so he was, you know, there was nothing like weird going on. But, you know, he tried to fight through it to try and get the Jets to the playoffs, and it backfired on him to a degree. And he was in a lot of pain this week, from what I'm told. I think he practiced on Wednesday, and it was not a good practice. And I think he was telling people he wasn't going to play. He didn't think he was going to be able to play. And so I think they just decided to just pull the plug instead of, like, you know, risking anything. And yeah, so you wonder if he's played his last game for the Jets. It's going to be very, like we've talked about, like, you have to want, are they going to go? And if they believe in Zach Wilson while also getting a guy like Jimmy G, if they believe in Zach Wilson, then you'd think they at least believe in him being the number two quarterback. And I don't know if there's much space for Mike White at that point, if he's going to make more than the minimum. You know, I know they paid Joe Flacco more than the minimum. They paid both of them more than the minimum, actually, this year. I don't know if you want to pay your third string quarterback in theory, you know, $5 million, $7 million, whatever it is. $10 million. I don't know how much he's going to make, but so it's going to be a tough decision. And I mean, ultimately, if they do trade Zach Wilson, it would make sense to bring Mike White in. But I don't know. I'm more skeptical that he's back than I was before. Though if he doesn't have a market, I could see him coming back because he knows this offense. Coaching staff loves him. Lives in this area with his kids, all that stuff. So it's yeah, he's got a very interesting offseason ahead. But yeah, ultimately, you feel bad for the guy who, you know, had really galvanized his locker room. Everybody loved him here. He showed some flashes in those games, maybe not enough to lead them to wins, but he showed some flashes. Something that everybody forgets about, and we brought it up, is he's only started six games now, I think. Yeah, I think that's right. Six or seven. That's not even a half of a season. So he's quite inexperienced, which is something that everybody forgets. And he's never been able to go straight through without getting hurt, which is unfortunate for him. But yeah, so this is kind of where they are. Joe Flacco, who knows this is the last game. Zach Wilson might be the only quarterback in this room that's still here next year, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah, it certainly is. You mentioned teams looking for veteran quarterbacks to compete with young quarterbacks. Wow, what a concept, right?
Didn't even think about it in that sense, but yes. Been a big topic these last couple of days.
I feel failed as a producer of going all the way back to our podcasts, like in the beginning when we talked about getting Zach Wilson a veteran quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. So, oh man, I'm sure that was a big topic.
Because this has been a topic back when we had Connor that we talked about very often. So,
yeah, if you guys remember, like Salek did get questioned about that by the media, and he was getting like frustrated about it. And they wound up bringing in Josh Johnson, but maybe a little too little, too late. And you know, Tim, I can let you take it away here because I'm sure we're going to hit on this topic next anyway.
Yeah,
but that is the thing is that summer, like every time we did this podcast, it was like, when are they going to sign the veteran? Like it was so obvious. Like, when are they gonna? Who's the veteran? When is he gonna come? And it just like we got to the beginning of training camp. We got through OTAs, nothing. Got to the beginning of training camp. It was like, what? I think we asked the question: what are they doing? Like, you have a rookie quarterback. You have like every rookie quarterback ever has had a veteran
quarterback who played at
BYU. Even if it's not competition, it like usually there's a veteran there to help them. Like, so if they like Joe Flacco that much, why didn't they just sign him in the summer? Like, that's
right.
Because they wound up trading for him. So, yeah.
So that brings us to Mike LaFleur's comments on Thursday, where he basically admitted to that they handled things poorly with Zach Wilson, and he probably should have sat and learned from a veteran quarterback in his rookie season. He said in hindsight, which kind of like that word, the alarms went off for me because I was like, I don't think this is in hindsight. Like everybody saw this
in the moment.
Like, it's not like we're looking back on it and, oh, now we can see. Like, no, we knew then. And it just didn't work out, obviously. And now we've kind of seen, who knows, right? Like Zach Wilson could have sat for 8 games and watched a veteran and still be what he is right now. We don't know that. But it would be nice to have an idea. It would have been nice to find out.
It was interesting because Salah's kind of avoided admitting that mistake. And LaFleur wasn't even asked directly about it. Connor asked him a question kind of just like about how like maybe sometimes it's good for a quarterback to sit and learn or whatever. And then he started getting into Jordan Love and how he's been sitting for the Packers because he obviously talks to his brother a lot. And then he said, you know, maybe, you know, yeah, the quote, the in hindsight quote. And so it was interesting to me that he was admitting that. I mean, I think you can interpret that how you want. I'm sure there's some degree of, even if he didn't mean it, of trying to like defend himself publicly, because there's a lot of scrutiny on him right now.
To what extent is it throwing like Joe Douglas under the bus?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You know, oh, totally. Like, yeah. I mean, that's I don't think LaFleur consciously was doing that, but it's what it is when you like, when you put it out there and you read the words. But yeah. Yeah. I don't know. And Salah kind of pushed back on it a little bit today. He said how, you know, in OTAs and rookie minicamp and training camp in the preseason, it was clear that Zach was the guy and that they were confident in his ability to start. And so Salah kind of pushed back a little bit. I think he kind of pulled the reins back a little bit. But yeah, I mean, ultimately, I think like you guys said, everybody was, I wasn't covering the Jets at the time, but I even remember hearing about it and thinking it was crazy that they didn't have a veteran quarterback and seeing Robert Saleh get frustrated when people kept asking him about it. You know, again, like they weren't going to win many games last year. So I do wonder if that was part of the thought process, like why even bother? But ultimately, I think that was the wrong decision. And I think that's played itself out. Flacco has been, you know, very positive influence, I think, behind the scenes. And so you wonder how much that would have helped having him from the get-go.
There's a lot more to get to as far as Mike LaFleur goes. You have a great story in The Athletic just out this morning, Zach, about what is the future, the immediate future for Mike LaFleur. We're going to get into all of that and much more, but we got to take a quick break. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, more on Mike LaFleur. There is definitely a chance when you look at what happens with NFL teams when seasons end with long losing streaks and there's disappointment that somebody's got to be the scapegoat. Sometimes it's a player, but Zach, oftentimes it's a coach. And if that is the case with the Jets, if it is decided from above and Woody Johnson that somebody's got to take the fall here, it kind of has to be Mike LaFleur, right? So like, that's what your story is about, is Robert Saleh is obviously going to fight that doesn't happen and he can roll it back. But there's no other clear person on this coaching staff that you would let go in the blame game.
Yeah, well, I think they're trying to, without saying is that they're trying to make Zach Wilson scapegoat while still like keeping him around kind of thing. Like, I think they're trying to have it both ways a little bit. And it's hard to argue like that. I don't think Zach Wilson is the reason why they're in this place. Like, there's a lot of other issues they have to attend to, but quarterback is the main one and the offense is the main one. And, you know, Saleh made it pretty clear to me, I think, the other day when he had his comments about how, you know, I was in his shoes when I was in San Francisco. After Saleh's second year in San Francisco as the DC, they were 4-12. Fans were calling for his head. Kyle Shanahan came out, staunchly supported him, brought him back, went to the Super Bowl in 2019. And he was hired by the Jets 2 years later. And so Saleh, it felt like Saleh's messages and Mike LaFleur's messages were directed towards Woody. Cause I think, you know, he's not the first owner to like who's involved with their team and who's, you know, antsy, and, you know, the Jets haven't made the playoffs in 12 years and everybody's talking about how bad the offense is, sports radio in the area. And the fans on Twitter are all talking about how they want LaFleur fired. And I think Woody is well aware of how the fans feel about certain things. I don't know if that's going to like influence how he approaches this, but I think you just look at it, so obvious that the offense was what was holding them back this year. And there are two people who get blamed when the offense is playing poorly. It's the quarterback and it's the offensive coordinator. And if they're actually committed to keeping Zach, I don't feel like Woody's going to be okay with just rolling everything back the way it was. Maybe they can, you know, do smaller scale changes, like change the position coaches or something like that. But I don't know. I've gone back and forth on this. I don't personally think they should fire LaFleur, because I think the factor when everybody talks about all that they leave out is, number one, you have to replace him. And if if in theory Robert Saleh is a lame duck coach, which he would be going into next year, because if they don't make the playoffs again, I don't know he survives that. So why would an offensive coordinator go somewhere where you might have to leave in a year? And the second factor is the Jets want to run the 49ers system. They want to run Kyle Shanahan's offense. And so that also limits the pool of offense, unless they're forcing him to hire like a guy who is not from the system, like a guy who's been in the league for a while. I've seen Frank Reich. That's not going to happen. I know everybody likes that idea. I think he's more likely to just be a head coach again. I don't think he would come to a Jets team where, again, lame duck. I don't know if Saleh would want to hire a guy that could potentially replace him in a year. So you'd have to find somebody who at least has some sort of experience in the West Coast, Kyle Shanahan offense, which, again, limits your pool. And so ultimately, you're not going to get anybody better than LaFleur. I know there are varying opinions on him as an offensive coordinator. He is young and he is inexperienced. I think to a degree, he might have been learning on the job. I think he has shown flashes of being a very inventive play caller, and I know his play designs and stuff like that. I do question some of his decisions and his reliance on a guy like Braxton Berrios and how they get away from the run sometimes. Like, there's a lot of things you can criticize him for sure. I think somebody deserves, like, Zach Wilson's not the only one that deserves blame for not developing. The person that he's supposed to develop him also does deserve blame from that. A lot of people bring up
which Greg he took Matt. Some too yeah. on Thursday, right?
Yeah,
he
yeah.
He spoke to that.
He has been pretty good about like pointing the finger at himself. A thing that everybody brings up is the Greg Knapp factor, which I think that's fair as well. You know, they wanted him to kind of be the veteran voice in the room for LaFleur, and then he passes away tragically, and they bring in John Beck and they bring in Matt Kavanaugh. And this year they didn't really bring in any veterans. They just decided to roll with who they have with LaFleur and Calabrese. Whether that was the right decision, I don't know if you can quantify that. Like, I don't know if, you know, having a veteran coach, I don't know if having Gary Kubiak in the building, like maybe that doesn't really change the problems Zach has with his footwork. Like, I don't know. So I don't think it's as simple as like what you change one thing and then everything's fixed. I think this is a situation where no matter who's the offensive coordinator, if the quarterback they have next year is not ready to, and number one, if the quarterback they have next year isn't good enough, everybody's getting fired. And if the quarterback they have is good enough and they still don't make the playoffs, I don't know if everybody's getting fired. So ultimately, I don't see the benefit of firing him. I understand the argument, and when things are bad, you want change. And then in theory, when you change something, it's going to be better because it can't be any worse. But, you know, I covered the Giants when they had a terrible offense in 2020, and everybody's like, it can't get any worse than this. They brought back Jason Garrett. It got worse. They fired Jason Garrett, brought in Freddie Kitchens to be the interim guy, and Joe Judge also was calling plays, which, as you can see with the Patriots, is still a disaster. But anyway, it did not get better. It got worse. So it can get worse. I think some continuity wouldn't be the worst thing. I know maybe some people are angry about that idea, but I don't know. I think the right pathway might be bringing in a veteran offensive assistant, but keeping LaFleur around, like maybe Gary Kubiak again, who I mentioned. He has a relationship with Saleh. I don't know if he wants to coach anymore, but he's the kind of guy that you could see them bringing in. I think his son is the OC for the Broncos right now, and the Broncos are probably about to clear their staff out. So maybe Clint Kubiak would be an option to bring in here, just to help out with the quarterbacks or whatever it is. But I don't know. I think that's the path I would go. I just have a feeling that Woody's going to kind of hear the noise and tell Saleh he has to make a change. And whether Saleh is willing to fight for his buddy or not, I don't know. But ultimately, I lean more towards, I don't know that LaFleur is going to be their offensive coordinator when we talk about this again, like a week from now. So it's weird that's gotten to this point, because we've talked about, there's a point this season where you and I brought up about how like maybe he's a head coaching candidate. He was like on that list in the NFL Network ad, and just the Jets and the NFL, things change so fast, and it's crazy.
Life moves fast. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
How about Woody Johnson being on the sideline for practice this week? Do you think, like, is that like a power play where he's sending a message? Did he just want to be seen? Like, it's not a regular thing. So it makes you wonder what was behind it.
Yeah. I'm trying not to read too much into it, but I mean, the optics of it are,
it's hard not to, though, right?
Yeah. Like, that's the thing. Like, there are optics there. I don't know what he's going to see when he's standing out there in the practice field, but I think he knows that when he's out there, we're all going to point it out. So the reality is, I asked another reporter, I'm like, yeah, we haven't seen him out here in a while, right? Because he would come out during training camp a bunch. I don't remember seeing him much in the regular season. I could be wrong. You know, I've missed some practices, but yeah, I mean, what's going to happen at the end of the season is what happens for most teams, is the head coach is going to have to sit down with the owner. And especially when you're a team that didn't make the playoffs, you have to explain what happened. You have to explain what the plan is going forward. And you have to say how things are going to get better and what he might strongly suggest that they make some changes. I don't know. But if I was predicting, that's what I would predict, is that he's going to say something needs to change. And maybe he says that has to be the offensive coordinator. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know. But Woody is the X factor here for the Jets offseason, for sure.
Usually when Woody's the X factor, it's not necessarily a good thing, right? There's some big reactions, overblown reactions, which is interesting also because of what Saleh said this week about like taking a step back and not reacting to the outside narrative and being smart. It was like he was speaking directly to his owner when he's saying that stuff.
It is always amazing when they do that. Yeah.
All right. Let's bring in our guest early. Yeah. Our picks guest, Will Parkinson, is joining us. Of course, the guy who has his own podcast. Will, thank you so much for coming on, man.
Thanks for having me, guys. No Jets news today, right? Nothing happened.
Nothing exciting to talk about.
you know how this goes, Will. Like if you wait 12 hours before you record your podcast, you have to redo the rundown because things will change with the New York Jets for sure.
I was supposed to release one yesterday, and then they dropped the like idea maybe there was an eighth team in the playoffs. So I was like, all right, I'll wait. Yeah. And then I was like, I'll record this morning, and then Joe Flacco starting. So I'm glad I waited.
We've had a lot of luck with waiting this year. Yeah.
Yeah. It's better, honestly, to wait at this point because you're just going to end up having to redo it. But we have Tank Commander Joe Flacco in the mix. And, you know, the Jets are sneaky tanking again on week 18 for like the fifth straight year. So, you know, we're back. We're better than ever.
I saw you tweeted that earlier, the tanker, Tanker Joe. Of course, you can catch Will.
It's brutal.
If you don't know it, on Turn on the Jets, everywhere you get your podcast, you can find him for that. We're going to get to the picks in a while, Will. We actually have a break we have to get to before that, but we wanted to get you on early just to get your thoughts on this stuff as well. Before we shift to the Dolphins, where do you see this Mike LaFleur situation?
I kind of tend to agree with Zach. I do think it's hard to totally rip a guy who's gotten 300+ three touchdown games out of Joe Flacco and Mike White and Josh Johnson, and Chris Trevor looked like he actually could like gain a first down at one point during the Jags game, right? So sometimes I think we do this thing in the NFL, and a lot of people did on Monday night with the DeMar Hamlin stuff, is you look for a villain, and sometimes the villain's kind of staring you right in the face. And not to be that guy, but Zach is historically bad through first 2 years. And I'm not saying he's going to be bad forever, and I hope it works out for him, whether it's here, although I think that ship has sailed, or somewhere else. I hope he does well, similar to Sam or Gino or any of these other guys that are seeing some success. But if we're honest about it, you know, he's had three games throwing for under 100 yards in the most pass hat. It's like if a guy in the NBA is averaging 7 points a game, you know, maybe it's the guy that maybe it's him, not the hand checking foul in the NBA. So I think Mike LaFleur, Robert Saleh was the best man in his brother's wedding. They've been close friends for 20+ years or 15+ years. I just have a hard time. Like I think Saleh is so in a good way, is so stubborn and such a good friend and a trustworthy person. That's why he's able to pull all these guys. Remember, I think fans forget Mike LaFleur and Mike McDaniels were the two hot coordinators, and Kyle Shanahan was not happy that he lost Mike LaFleur. I think it was very obvious he lost John Benton and all those guys, but I just have a hard time believing they're going to fire him. I think something needs to happen. I think I agree there, whether it's Rob Calabrese kind of moves back into an assistant role or takes a different role somewhere else, and they bring in a quarterback coach. I saw David Shaw floated this morning. That's not happening.
Yeah, I don't think he wants to coach anymore.
No, I was going to say, if he's not to leave Stanford, that he has NFL Network on draft night written all over him.
Yeah, imagine leaving Stanford head coaching job to be the Jets quarterback coach. Yeah,
on a lame duck staff. That's a good career decision. Frank Reich, I floated out there. I think you'd have to, if you were going to bring in Frank Reich, you'd have to know this is coming with a Carr, Jimmy G, Rodgers, Lamar, whoever you go for, like knowing quarterback's going to be here. We feel good the head coach will be here. And if not, I'm the next guy in charge that gets the job. That'd be on Saleh then to – it kind of reminds me of the Fangio stuff. I don't know if you guys remember last year where Fangio got fired and it's like, the Jets need to fire Olbrich and bring in Vic Fangio. I was like, not the same system.
It's not that simple.
And B, why would you want to come here and kind of take a job relegation, I guess? So they do need to bring in someone. Like, I fully agree, a veteran. Maybe it's, you mentioned Clint Kubiak. I don't know, maybe he calls Gary Kubiak and says, can you come in and be a mentor to the staff? I know they work together, so that's a name. It's a similar system. I just think, look, I know John Gruden and Jay Gruden's not going to happen, but even if it's someone like that that has that, I've been a coordinator, I've been a head coach, I can kind of show you the ropes a little bit. I just think LaFleur, the only thing I would say with him, I'm not sure if you guys agree or disagree, I think a lot of the creativity is great. I think he's developed, like, he gets a lot out of guys that maybe you wouldn't get a lot out of. He just gets a little impatient for me at times with the run game, and it feels like they'll run it and they'll get stopped two times in a row, and he's like, all right, we got to drop back 50 times. And if that's the offense, that's great, but you have to build the roster that way. You can't be in between. So I don't know if I don't fire him, but if it came down, if the one, the X factor, as you guys mentioned, is what he goes, it's you fire him or you both go. And then that's it. In that sense, I would assume Robert Saleh would say, sorry, Mike, I love you, but find another job. But I don't know. Maybe he's stubborn enough. And by the way, I know people keep asking my head coach. I get this all the time. I'm sure you guys feel Sean Payton and Harbaugh are not happening. So I'm not sure. They're not trading a top 10 pick for Sean Payton. That's just not going
to happen. Maybe Harbaugh will be their offensive coordinator. I'll just
He'll be the QB coach. They'll bring in Mike Tomlin to be the DC. Chuck Knoll and Bill Walsh will come back and be on the staff. Not going to happen, guys. Unfortunately, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no,
I agree. Impatient, and I think sometimes he also overthinks things. Like, he'll go in, you'll see on paper and it looks clear what the game plan should be, and he's almost too cute about certain things, which is probably trying to live up to being an offensive genius, right? Like, sometimes, and I feel like those things are fixable. You take a step back, you have an off season, you regroup. So I agree with both of you guys that I don't think he should be gone. I think he should be back. Ulbrich, you mentioned, and look, the defense was great this year. They stuck with him, and the defense was really good. So
he's another guy that got impatient a year ago too. And I think early in the year, he just, like, he would get impatient and they wouldn't get pressure the first two or three drives. He'd start blitzing guys. And they got crushed in man coverage. That was the only, if you look at every DVOA stat, every EPA per play thing, like, the only time they're bad is when they blitz. And they stopped blitzing after week three. Quinnen Williams blew up. And, you know, they had the worst game of the year the last 2 weeks, and they gave up 20 and 23 points. Yeah. Like, it's, you know, so I'm not saying the defense is perfect, but again, Ulbrich learned. And by the way, I think everyone knows this, that I keep saying Robert Saleh is involved in the defense. So if everyone can stop asking me for Robert Saleh to call plays, he's on the headset too. I promise you. If Ulbrich was like, engage eight every play, I don't think that Robert Saleh would okay. But another for another time.
Do you think, like, once we know the coordinator, I just curious your guys' take, like, we're going to know what they're going to do at quarterback. Do you think, like, this is going to be a huge telltale sign, like, the week after the season, question. If LaFleur is gone, do you think, like, okay, they're going to be aggressive and go get one of these quarterbacks?
Because it could be a system change, right? Like, we'll get.
Yeah, that will tell a lot. Yeah. I think Saleh's pretty committed to the system that he runs, though. So, and that's why Jimmy G is, like, such an obvious fit, maybe almost too obvious to the point where, like, I think we're all so focused on that. I don't know how Will feels about Derek Carr. I'm not as huge on him as an option for them. He obviously would be, like, the best Jets quarterback in a very long time. But
and then on behalf of the chat, I guess I have to ask about Lamar. Because
Lamar. I mean, obviously that's the dream one, and I do absolutely think there's weird stuff going on there, and that Joe Douglas, if he's available, Joe Douglas is going to call and he's going to try to get him. Whether that would be successful, I still ultimately think he stays on the Ravens. You just can't – if you have a guy of that caliber, you do not get rid of him, no matter if he hates you or not. Like, he could hold out, I guess.
Tyler Huntley's a fourth alternate Pro Bowler in Tyler Huntley, though, right? Yeah. So there's weird stuff with Lamar for, like, the last 12 months. There was stuff with the vaccine stuff. Then there was stuff he was out of shape. Then he came back in shape, but then he was hurt. There's just weird. And then I don't know if you guys remember, like, when Bucky Brooks floated, and obviously he's well plugged in the league, floated, like, the Ravens were going to take a quarterback in round one a year ago. And everyone's like, what are you talking about? They have Lamar. And it was like, he was like, yeah, well, maybe they just think that every 5 years they can cycle through quarterbacks. There's weird stuff there. And if I'm the Jets, you mentioned, like, I think people love to say, like, the Jets don't do enough of, like, star hunting, but, like,
last year,
like, they tried to sign Chandler Jones. He said, I'm going to Vegas. Like,
and they didn't have a great year either.
Yeah, that they might probably dodge the bullet. Look at
Tyreek Hill.
Tyreek Hill. Like, every player in the team's texting Tyreek Hill to come to New York. It didn't work, right? They tried for AJ Brown. They called on Debo. They, like, this isn't as
Devontae,
if like,
yeah.
Yeah, they tried on, it's like they try on everybody. I would hope they try on Lamar. You should call on Rodgers. You call on Lamar. You call on Dak, Kyler, whoever is a guy that you think, you know, could we persuade them to move? And you mentioned, I think, yeah, he's stuck on that system. But if you were to go Derek Carr, maybe he doesn't necessarily fit the exact same thing as Jimmy G, as you mentioned.
Yeah, I think they'd be willing to adjust. And another thing to think about with the not star hunting thing, like if they had traded a bunch of their picks, then they might not have ended up with either Sauce, Garrett Wilson, or Breece Hall this last draft. Like I know maybe you take that for a Tyreek Hill, but that is something to think about. But yeah, if someone like Lamar is available, if someone like Aaron Rodgers says he's willing to come to the Jets or something like that, like they're
Tom Brady. Sport.
Tom Brady. I would rather not cover Aaron Rodgers personally, but yeah, that's another topic. But yeah, so I don't know. It is going to be fascinating to see how this all ties together. Like Marissa was asking, who the offensive coordinator is, whether I don't know if even if they hire someone to try to appeal to like one of these guys coming in, which that doesn't always work out. I mean, as you saw with the Broncos, that kind of blew backfired.
I was just going to say, definitely don't do that.
But so it's going to, I think you'll be able to tell to a degree, like what they're thinking based on what happens here. Ultimately, I think, you know, if everybody in this building believes they're a quarterback away, which I think they are. And I think LaFleur probably believes that, we'll find out how good of an offensive coordinator is when he has the quarterback. Like we can talk about that all we want, but if they go get a quarterback and he still has the same problems with like getting too cute or whatever, then it's clear that he was the problem. But if you bring a good quarterback in there and then things calm down a bit, then you know that that was the issue from the beginning.
Yeah. You mentioned Derek Carr. I'm lukewarm on Derek Carr. I think the Jets are going to be more interested in Carr than he is in the Jets. Mm-hmm. I just think he's mentioned like six times. His brother has floated out there on TV. He wants a stable head coach, stable ownership, like everything kind of in place. And I'm not saying the Jets don't have that, but right now, like you can make the argument Salah's going to be in a make or break a year next year. And what if Carr gets hurt for six games and he's on his 15th head coach in 9 years? I don't know if he wants to be on the West Coast. Like there's a lot of different, you know, obviously went to Fresno, he's playing in Vegas and Oakland. So like, does that stuff matter? I don't care about the cold weather numbers because he was 0-7. And it's not just, if you go by quarterback wins, it's tough to be like, you know, Mac Jones has good numbers in the cold. Doesn't mean he's actually good in the cold.
Well, yeah. And, right? and I also think with that, he's spending most of his year in warm weather and then he's going to cold weather. Like, I think it's probably a little different than if he's here all year and he's like, his body's used to it. I don't know. I get everybody's looking at, I think the more concerning thing is that he holds on to the ball a lot and he's a little bit afraid of getting hit is kind of like the narrative around him. And that if the Jets are still having a revamped offensive line, that's a problem.
Yeah. That's not ideal. The other thing you guys mentioned, like the quarterback away, I know everyone likes to point to all these other holes. I'm a big like war guy. I love baseball. So like the Jets had negative quarterback war this year. Like their roster is better without a quarterback even existing on the roster. Like I think they had like a 4.27 war or something. The Chiefs are at 8 or 9 because of Mahomes. The Jets without a quarterback literally had a less valuable team. I mean, with a quarterback had a less valuable team. So they had the most valuable defense in the league. They had value on offense. It's just they need to fix offensive line and quarterback. And it's, you know, that's been the conversation now for at least 7 years. It's been really the conversation for a decade of just, can we get some stability at tackle? Can we get some stability at quarterback? I don't think anyone's asking for them to have an MVP level quarterback either. I think that's what is frustrating. I think everyone's asking, can we get 15 starts out of a guy that throws more than 10 touchdowns? Like they haven't had a guy throw for 10 touchdowns in 3 years. That's insane. Crazy. It's awful.
All right. Before we take a quick break, we don't need to get into this Dolphins game. I think this conversation about LaFleur has been much more interesting, but I will just to touch on the Dolphins game from each of you guys. Why should people watch week 18 for the Jets? Like what's the thing that should get you to turn on the TV and watch? And please don't say Joe Flacco.
Well, I think the answer is obvious. It's Chris Streveler. I think he's
well, right. That would have been like, if they had started Chris Streveler.
Isn't he out of elevations?
No, I think he has one more. I think you get three. Oh, he has had three. So I guess they could just sign.
That they elevated him and didn't play him.
Yeah, they could just sign him to the active roster for Sunday if they really had to, kind of thing. Yeah. Although they're short on offensive linemen, so maybe not actually.
Yeah, but he could play. He could play tackle, right?
Yeah,
he could probably play tackle. I think Garrett Wilson's kind of the answer, right? It's he's the one guy that feels like Sauce has rookie of the year locked up. It feels like Garrett Wilson's kind of in a mano-a-mano battle with Kenneth Walker, and obviously,
good point.
I really truly believe Joe Flacco is going to throw it 80 times. Like I think,
The
LaFleur gets pass happy anyways, and like he threw it 50 times a game when they were trying to win. I just feel like feed Garrett Wilson a million targets and Elijah Moore. And I also just think the rookies, like I'd love to see Jeremy Rucker get some reps. I'd love to see Jermaine Johnson play 70% of the reps. Like, we know what Carl Lawson is. We know what John Franklin Myers is. We damn sure know what Vinny Curry is. Like, can we like just give Jermaine Johnson and Bryce Huff 60% of the reps and say, let's get you some meaningful reps going forward. The Huff thing's a little weird, but that's a whole nother discussion that we can tackle and you guys can tackle in the offseason why he'll play less and less against games. And when he plays less, they lose. I think Garrett Wilson's the answer. Just try to get him rookie of the year and, have the first time in franchise history they got both.
All right, let's take another break. We'll be back with a little, we'll touch on the Hall of Fame and then get into our picks.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
All right, before we get to our picks, finalist name for the Hall of Fame this week, and obviously no surprise, but three new people on that ballot: Joe Thomas, Darrell Revis, Dwight Freeney. Orange pride for Dwight Freeney, by the way. But he's not a lock, but it feels like Joe Thomas and Revis certainly are. Joe Thomas, arguably the greatest to ever do it. And Revis, the greatest of his generation, I think, to do it at cornerback. So it should be fun, and it should be something where, Will, going into next season, thinking of the Hall of Fame, it'll be a fun, feel-good story for this Jets fan base, because who knows what else is going to be going on with this team at that point.
Yeah, you look at, and Gastineau potentially, it's all but kind of solidified. He'll be going in as well.
Klecko, maybe. So Jets, but not to cut you off real quick, the Jets might potentially be like one of the Hall of Fame game teams because of this.
I think they will be. Yeah. If Revis gets in,
Jets,
I think
Browns,
it makes sense.
That's what it's going to be.
Oh, man. And the Jets might have to go to Cleveland on the road next year, so I might have to go to Ohio twice.
Good luck with that. I think it'd be really special for – I think Revis's number should be retired. I've said that. I mean, I know it kind of is quasi-retired now, but just it should be retired. He's arguably the best Jet ever if you really want to be, like, honest with yourself. Yeah. Like, a lot of these other guys is an all-pro. He's the best defensive player in football for multiple years on their most successful run for 20 years. Yeah. Homegrown, obviously. And I know he won a ring with the Patriots. I don't care. It's a business. It's football. It's like, let the emotion out of it. The Patriots were going to win that ring, whether Revis was there or not, likely. So, the Hall of Fame game, I've seen that. I think that would make a lot of sense. The Jets, I don't know that the Jets have ever played in. I could be wrong. And if they have, it's probably been 40 years. So, to have a guy that's a homegrown Jet go in the Hall of Fame on the first ballot would be really special. That ballot is stacked. If you
I was looking at it yesterday. It's crazy.
If you played Madden in like 2010, 2011, your mind is blown right now of how good all 99 overall.
Well,
even
dudes like Andre Johnson, I feel like people forget how dominant he was.
Steve Smith didn't even make the
final 15. Jared Allen is a guy that kind of flown under the radar, but like if you look at his numbers, like he was getting like double digit sacks every year. Like it, These are all dudes from like the 2000s that were like,
yeah, legit. Reggie Wayne and Torrey Holt. Yeah, Torrey Holt.
Even Rondé Barber, who's been on there for a little while, Darren Woodson, they were like perennial all pros, guys that won titles.
Yeah, those feel like guys that'll get there like on their eighth try or something like that.
Yeah, they'll be the last ballot. They'll be like the baseball version of last time on the ballot.
Yeah, so exactly.
People
yeah.
vote for him. But I think Rivas should get in. I don't know.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. Even like, it was crazy. I thought last year Ware and Willis not getting in was pretty confusing.
Marcus Ware in particular, because he had the name brand of being a star too. So,
yeah, being in the Cowboys, obviously retired. I think he retired right after the Super Bowl win in 15 with the Broncos. So we're gonna be a stats class. Yeah. One of those weekends where it's not the quarterback allure of some of these other ones where you know these other guys go in, but it's like true like generational pieces. And you know, J.J. Watt obviously retiring. He'll be a first ballot guy. In 5 years or so, whenever he's eligible.
Next year will be the fun Eli Manning debate because I think he's eligible next year. I'm not.
If Eli's a first ballot, are you a Rivers? Is it Hall of Fame guy?
No.
So then why is Eli?
I don't think we have any Giants followers here, but I don't think Eli. I mean, Eli is just based on who has gotten in the Hall. He'll make it. But I personally don't view. I think you need to be like,
he's going to get in. It's you need to be like, you think you should.
You need to, in my opinion, the Hall of, and it's like this in every sport. It becomes the Hall of like very good instead of the Hall of Fame ultimately. Like, yeah, in my opinion, I've always thought the Hall of Fame should be guys that are either the best or like debatably the best, like more than 1 year, like at their position. Like and I don't think Eli Manning was ever that. Philip Rivers maybe.
But where
was.
Do you put the two Super Bowls?
Yeah, that's the thing.
The thing like,
it depends on how much you factor that in, I guess. Yeah,
the Super like, Bowls the to me goal, too.
Right? Yeah,
like those Super Bowl years, he was huge in those games. But you don't look back on those years and be like, "Oh, Eli was the best quarterback in football that year."
Exactly. That's yeah.
But he did make big
throws. He was amazing.
Got helped out by a helmet catch.
But also, he only went to the playoffs like three times in his career, which is like crazy. Anyway,
it's like hard when you look at those guys of like, there's a good chance Rodgers and Brees and all those guys and Favre combined for like one Super Bowl apiece. And I think Rodgers is, whether people like him or not, also legendary World War II quote by Rodgers this week. That was a generational go in a museum quote. But if, you know, he might be the most talented quarterback we've ever seen, or like the best thrower of the football we've ever seen, and he's got one Super Bowl. So it's like, is Eli better than him, or is Philip Rivers not better than Eli because he never won and wasn't good in the playoffs? It's like the Julian Edelman thing, right? Like, I don't know. Andre Johnson won one playoff game in his whole career, but he's obviously better than Julian Edelman, who is
so
incredible in the playoffs.
I guess it depends on what you value, but Hall of Fame, I think, should be more about like, is he this guy like a Hall of Fame player and less of it? Because it is a team sport also.
If you don't think that when you're watching a guy, it's my personal opinion. If you don't watch a guy and in person you go, wow, or holy bleep, like this guy is the best player on the field. They're one of the two best players. And like your eyes immediately fixate to him. It's hard for me to be like, oh, you're one of the best 200 players to ever touch a football that's ever like existed. Yeah. Like that's, I mean, basketball does that. That's why Hall of Fame is a joke. Baseball and football
basketball are like, brutal. Sure.
That's what Robert Horry's in the Hall of Fame. Like why? He averaged 10 points a game. What are you doing?
All right.
With that, let's get on to the picks and let's take a look at the standings because Zach pulling into the lead and looking good. I was a point away, that Patriots game, a point away, Zach, of being one game behind.
We got the wrong
here.
Picture for Rohan.
I was going to throw.
Sorry, Rohan. I think Rohan's in here right now. So sorry, Rohan.
Yeah.
Our graphics department screwing that
one up.
I do the graphics. So I forgot to switch out the picture, but I got the handle right. So
yes.
Yeah, tough week. Obviously, 0-2 for the listeners. That Bills game now, I guess, becomes a push because they're not going to make it up. Yeah. But this is where we're at. Zach, 23-25 in the lead. We are just bad. It's just a bad year.
It's literally like every week I only get one. I really think I'm setting a record for.
You are consistent.
I think that's more impressive.
We should go back and look. We should go back and look at how many weeks you only had one.
I literally think it's been every week. Like it's bad, but you know, we're having fun, right?
Better luck in 2023, you know?
Yeah.
Well, the good thing is this is the fourth season that we've done picks. And the first 3 years, Marissa won one season, I won one season, and Connor won one season. And now, Zach, you join and you're winning. So, we spread the love.
Yeah.
With that, the leader goes first, Zach. So you're up.
All right. There's some weird, it's really weird lines this week, obviously, because there's a lot of teams that aren't trying or.
Oh, yeah.
So it's hard for me even like.
The Philly Giants line.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, actually,
I picked that one.
I thought about that. I'll avoid it since it sounds like you guys are going to use it. But I'll go Texans plus 2.5 against the Colts. Just two bad teams. And the Texans probably want to lose, but Lovie Smith is also probably going to try and win. I'm going to go Jets plus 3 against the Dolphins because it's just the Jets ruining their draft pick in the last week is kind of tradition, I feel like. And then I'll go, I wrote down Steelers minus 2 against the Steelers.
The Browns.
Oh, yeah. So Steelers minus 2 against the Browns. Steelers have a chance at the playoffs still, so they're going to really try hard in that game. Not to say the Browns won't, but Steelers look, I mean, the Steelers might end with a winning record again, which is crazy to think about. You know, when they lost to the Jets, nobody thought that Steelers were going to end this. And so Tomlin might keep his streak going, which that dude's going to be in the Hall of Fame, obviously, one day. But it's honestly, I feel like it's underappreciated what he's done because you see the Jets not getting winning records most years. And I think Steelers fans are spoiled because I know some Steelers fans who like are over Tomlin. I'm like, trust me. It's like I went to University of Arizona there and they're not generally very good at college football. And Rich Rodriguez would have them like getting like 7 or 8 wins every year, which fans should be okay with. Cause it's not that easy to do in like a tough conference. And so they fire him and they haven't been able to do that again. So
yeah,
Tomlin, anyway, sorry, just went on a little rant, but Tomlin, amazing. Like that is going to be one of the best like stats ever for a coach. It blows my mind.
All right, Will, you're next.
All right, I'm gonna start with Green Bay minus 4.5 or whatever it is. They're rolling right now. The Lions outside are just not that good. And as much as I don't know, when Rodgers starts getting it rolling like this, it just feels like inevitable he's gonna get in the playoffs and he's gonna go on a run and they're gonna end up losing the title game and we're gonna talk them. They're gonna go 15-1 next year in the regular season and lose in the first round of the Niners again. This is like a cycle that happens every 2 or 3 years. He goes on a run as a wild card team and then sucks as a division winner. So I'm going to go with the Packers right now. Just the Lions on the road, the Jets kind of choked that game away. And then the Panthers ran for like 650 yards on them a week later. I don't love that. I'm going to go Seattle minus 6 or whatever they are against the Rams. The Rams have zero incentive to try. And it feels like obviously Seattle needs to win and they kind of looked much better last week. And then lastly, I will go, I don't know. I don't want to copy the Pittsburgh one, but it feels like Jadeveon Clowney this week was like, they got sent home because he was like, yeah, I'm leaving. So see ya. And the Browns kind of felt like last week was their little mini Super Bowl. They knocked out Washington. It felt like these teams usually have one week in them where they play spoiler. And then like, once that's over, it's done. So I'll go Seattle, Green Bay, and who did I just say?
Pittsburgh.
I'm Pittsburgh. Yeah, I'll go with those three.
All right, I'm gonna. I agree with you on the Packers. I'm gonna take that one too. Pack minus 4.5. I'm gonna take the Bills minus 7 at home against the Patriots. I just think the emotional level in that stadium, the fact that they're at home. Yeah, it's just gonna be. I mean, maybe it's too much. That happens sometimes, right? When guys are so fired up leading up to a kickoff that. You know, you hit a wall in the second half. I don't know, but I'm going to take the Bills for that win. And then we'll see what happens with the Jets game and who gets in the playoffs. But, and then third one, I'm going to go Chiefs minus 9.5 at the Raiders. I just feel like the Chiefs are going to put the exclamation point on that one and crush a Raiders team that is playing out the string as well. Marissa.
All right. Well, I obviously have nothing to lose because, you know, I get one every week. So, you know, I agreed with you guys on everything with the Packers Lions game, but I would much rather root for the Lions in that game.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
So I'm going to go opposite and I'm going to go Lions plus 4.5. Again, agreed with everything you said. I feel like Aaron Rodgers has played a joke on all of us all season long and is going to go on this run, but I think it would be pretty cool to see the Lions win that game against the big brother Packers. So Lions plus 4.5. Eagles obviously have a lot to play for and it's
looking
the Giants don't, and
huge line though.
It's a huge spread. I know, huge. But I feel like the Eagles have to just come out.
You're not a Tyrod Taylor believer.
I mean, I just think like they have to come out and like,
especially with all the narrative around them now. Yeah.
Yes. Because the past few weeks have not looked good and everyone wants to know, are the Eagles falling off? So I just think they have to come out and show a little juice to get that bye week and get home field advantage. So I'm going to go Eagles minus 14. Gosh, that's a huge spread. And then Cowboys minus 7 versus the Commanders. talked about the Commanders. We have no idea what they're doing at quarterback.
Sam Howell
this week. I mean, the quarterback roulette over there. We talked about the quarterback.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty bad. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been.
I mean, any quarterback roulette involving Carson Wentz is probably not good.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm going to go Cowboys -7 versus Commanders. So, yeah, I mean, there's going to be one of them right in there. Tim, you're muted.
One of those three will be correct.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz, by the way, has to probably be one of the most internally hated players in the league. Like, he's got to be top three. Carson Wentz, like, is there anybody that likes Carson Wentz? Like, any player in the league? Like, I haven't ever spoken to one.
I think Zach Ertz likes him. I think that's about it.
Zach Ertz likes him. Like, I hope Zach doesn't reach that.
And Jordan Matthews, that was like his buddy. There you go.
Jeremy Maclin back in the day.
There you go.
Hey, Will, thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks,
man.
Will.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it. It was fun.
Check out Will on his Jets. Yep, on his own podcast, Turn on the Jets. When's your next episode? Today?
It'll drop today, like 3:00. Yeah, we're just going to have a little bit more fun with the Joe Flacco situation. I have one today and one tomorrow. Cool. Everyone tune in. Zach's been on. It was a fun episode. So, I appreciate you guys having me. It was a lot of fun.
Cool. And you want to join The Athletic, you can do that for $2 a month for 12 months. That's still right, Marissa?
Yep.
All right. Go to theathletic.com/can't wait. We will be back with two more episodes next week to kind of wrap up the season before we slow things down a little bit. Two great guests coming up.
Yes.
I will leave it at that. That's the professional tease. We'll talk to everybody after week 8.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.